My dear brother bishops and priests, brother deacons, beloved seminarians, fellow religious, sisters and brothers in Christ, and especially my four brothers who will be ordained as priests today. Before reflecting on the scripture readings, I'd like to explain to you, and maybe especially to the ones being ordained, the process of choosing readings for a Mass like this. There doesn't seem to be any connection between the three of them. And there really aren't any connections between the three of them. They're taken from the collection of readings that we can choose to preach about when someone is ordained. But we have this process in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia where I have to choose these readings several weeks in advance of today, and Father Gill gives them to the deacons who are going to be ordained for their retreat so they can reflect on the readings during retreat. And so it's my duty to pick something that I think I might want to preach about. And so I picked the first reading, which is from the Acts of the Apostles, because it was the first, or one of the first homilies preached by St. Peter after Jesus' ascension to the Father. If you look at it closely, it wouldn't win any contests on the best homily of the year. It's rather plain and simple. Its focus is entirely on the life, death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven of Jesus. And if I was going to preach about that, I would have told them that's what they have to do with their lives, as well as with their preaching, a simple, complete focus on the Lord Jesus, on his death, his resurrection, and his ascension to the Father. But I'm not going to preach about that, at least not very long. I actually gave you a very short homily, you know. The second reading is from, that I chose not to preach about, is the Gospel, which is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, where Jesus uses those wonderful images of salt and light to describe the quality of those of us who are called to be his disciples. And if I were to preach on that, my dear brothers, I would say that you need to be like salt and light, which are not valued in and of themselves, but for what they do for something else. You know, you don't eat a tablespoon of salt, ever. You don't stare foolishly into the sun. It could ruin your eyes. Rather, salt is for seasoning and for preserving, which is part of the ministry of priests, who season the gospel so that it might be enthusiastically embraced and to reserve faithfully the teachings of Jesus and his church. You know, light was the first thing God created, and light helps us to see, and it gives us life. You know, they tell us that sunlight is a source of the life that grew in the oceans that eventually became all of the creation God has given us, which is the role of disciples, but also in a uniquely way, the role of priests, you know, to be light, the light of Christ in the world today. But I didn't choose to preach about that. Instead, I chose the Old Testament text from the book of Numbers, which is one we don't often use when we celebrate the ordination of priests. And the reason I chose it is because it's about the relationships that are important in the life of a priest. First of all, his relationship with God, but also his relationship with his bishop and with his fellow priests and with the people of God that God now calls you to serve as a priest. In order to understand this reading, we have to put it in context. It's from the book of Numbers, which is the fourth book of the Pentateuch, the law, the Torah, the most important part of the Jewish Bible. The title of the book in Hebrew is In the Wilderness. It's about the time when the Jewish people wandered in the desert after they had escaped slavery in Egypt and were heading towards the Promised Land. But Christians call it the book of Numbers because it, at the beginning and the end, it has a census, a counting of the number of God's people. And this particular passage is from a section called Rebellions, describing the sometimes hard-heartedness of God's chosen people. The chain of events that leads up to it are the following. The people, after having come from slavery in Egypt, are in the desert and they are complaining. And the reason they're complaining isn't exactly clear, but it seems like they're protesting the fact that God isn't treating them well. You know, God had given them manna when they were starving, but they got bored with manna. It wasn't enough for them. And in this reading, they are rebelling against God and against Moses because of the difficulties of the long journey and the fact that they didn't get what they wanted. And when I read this reading, as I was preparing for the homily, I thought, Moses sounds very much like he's experiencing the life of a bishop in the church today. A lot of people complain to the bishop. People who aren't members of our church, the lay faithful, the priests, the deacons, the religious. And sometimes, rarely, but sometimes, those of us who are bishops feel very much like Moses, who went to God in prayer at this moment and said to God, why don't you just kill me rather than put me through all of this? Well, that's what he said, if you listen carefully to the reading. He said to God in his prayer, I cannot carry all this people by myself, for they are too heavy for me. And then God gave his response. He gave the people meat. And there was a flock of quail that came into the camp. And there was enough meat for the whole week. It was really quite an amazing miracle. But then God said to Moses, since you can't carry this load alone, gather from the community, a community like this one here, 70 of people who are truly elders. And they didn't mean old people, they meant wise people, you know, people who could really understand and be good leaders. And God said, I will give them a share of your spirit, and they will prophesy. You know, Moses was a prophet. That means he was a spokesperson for God. It doesn't mean he foretold the future. It meant that he was God's voice in the world of that time. And God told Moses to pick others to join him in this work of being the spokesman of God. 70 elders. The Greek word for elder is presbyter. That's where the Presbyterian Church gets its name, by the way, because they are a church governed by elders. But it's also the technical word that the church gives to those who ordain priests. These gentlemen here that are with me in the sanctuary are the presbyters of the church. Now, the two things I would like you to notice about Moses' response to his difficulty are the following. Moses had no desire to monopolize the Spirit. He didn't think he should be God's only channel of communication with his people. He was wanting to share not only the burden of being the leader, but also the gift of God that was God's Holy Spirit. And the second thing I want you to notice, and you wouldn't have heard this in the reading because it stopped short, but immediately after this happening, the Spirit of God came upon the 70 elders. But also, back in the camp, there were two other men. Their names were Eldad and Medad. And the Spirit came upon them too, even though they weren't the 70 elders. And Joshua, one of Moses's, really the first among the elders, one of his co-workers, Joshua ran up to Moses and he said to Moses, my Lord Moses, stop them, because they had received the Spirit and they were prophesying. And Moses said to Joshua in response, are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord will put his Spirit on them. Now, my dear brothers, to be ordained, what took place in the book of Numbers way back then takes place here today in our church, in your lives. I will give you a share in the priesthood of Jesus Christ, which I have received through ordination from the church. That's what priests are. Priests are those who share the priesthood of Jesus Christ, handed on to them by the bishops. You will become, in a very clear and sacramental way, the voice of Jesus in our church today. You will become sacraments of Jesus, images of Jesus in the church. You will be, all of a sudden, though you have tender young ages, you will become presbyters or elders. You will be gathered among the group of the wise men who lead the church. And I want you, with me and my brother priests and all present here, to reflect on the implications of that for your lives. I want you to think about your relationship with God's people, your families, but also the broader church. I want you to think about your relationship with your fellow presbyters, all of us gathered here today with you as your brothers. And I want you to think for a moment about your relationship with me, with your bishop. And I'd like to do that using the words that Pope Francis spoke to the Italian Bishops' Conference just this past week on May 16th. He gave them a talk called Profile of a Priest Who is Credible to His People. And among the things he said are the following. The priest is to be considered as such, you're to be considered a priest, to the extent that he feels he participates in the life of the church, a concrete community with whom he shares his journey. The faithful people of God remain the source from which he originates. The family with whom he is linked, and the home to which he is sent. This common belonging, the Pope says, that springs from baptism is the breath that frees from the self-referentiality that isolates and imprisons. And one of the things that Pope Francis talks about a lot is what he refers to as self-referentiality. It's kind of a complex word to even say, but what it means is self-centeredness, and the world centers around you. Everything is how it affects you. It's all about me, 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 which is a characteristic of our time. And unfortunately, it can be a characteristic of God's people and also those of us who serve you as priests. And it's by a living awareness that baptism has made us, as he tells us in this talk, one family, one home that can protect us from this self-absorption, which we refer to more popularly as clericalism. The Pope went on to say this, the pastor is converted and confirmed in the simple faith of the holy people of God with whom he works and in whose heart he lives. You're called to work with the people of God and to live in their heart, not just live beside them, but live in their heart. This belonging to the people of God through baptism is a salt of life for the presbyter. It ensures that his distinctive feature is communion. Live with the laity in relationships that are able to value the participation of each person. You know, today we are focusing on your priesthood, and this is such an important moment in your lives. But as you enter into that mystery of being chosen as priest, The Pope, through these words, is asking you and all of us to reflect on the fact that your priesthood comes from and in the service of the people of God. And there's nothing self-referential about it, you know. We're not important because we're priests. We're important because we're servants of God's people, from whom we come and to whom we're sent to serve. So as you go on to serve the people of the church, as you embrace the priesthood that God will give to you, I ask you to continue to make sure that you remember that the laity, your baptism, is the source of your priesthood, that the people in your parishes are your family, and that the people of the church are to be your home. So that's the reflection of the Pope on our relationship with the people of God. But I'd like to also talk more briefly, about your relationship with your brother priests. You know, as part of the ordination ceremony, you'll see that all the priests who are present here will come and lay their hands on the head of the ones being ordained as a symbol that they too are passing on a share of the priesthood they've received from Jesus Christ. And then a group of them, at the end of the ordination ceremony, representing the whole body of priests of the archdiocese, will come and embrace them in the greeting of peace, symbolizing that when they're ordained, they're not ordained individually, but they're ordained into the college of priests. We call it a presbyterium, the gathering of the elders. This is what the Pope said to those priests about that aspect of your lives. He said, "Likewise, for the priest, it is fundamental to discover or rediscover himself in the cenacle of the presbytery." The word cenacle refers to the upper room where Jesus and the apostles celebrated the Last Supper, and the same place where they received the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. And Pope Francis refers to this body of priests as your cenacle, the place where you celebrate the Eucharist and where you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's like the cenacle of the upper room. So you need to, according to the Pope, you need to discover or rediscover for yourself the cenacle of the presbyterum. This experience, he says, free of narcissism and clerical jealousies. Brothers, we have to hear those words. You know, we have a relationship with the others that is born of fraternity, enables the following: mutual esteem, support, and goodwill, and enables them to grow. It favors a communion that is not merely sacramental and juridical, but fraternal and concrete. Communion is truly one of the names of mercy. You know, the Holy Father is preoccupied with mercy. We're in the year of mercy. He talks about it all the time. And he tells us, brothers, that our community as priests, our communion together is one of the names of mercy. I hope you always find your brother priest merciful. Unfortunately, that's not always the case, right? And brothers, the Holy Father is calling us to be merciful to one another, to look at one another not with jealousy or narcissistic eyes, not with the kind of competition that is unhealthy, but to see our community, our priesthood, as a source of strength for us. And finally, I'd like to visit with you briefly about your relationship with me and my successors. As part of the ordination ceremony, the ones being ordained, after they're ordained, or before they're ordained, will place their hands in my hands, and I'll ask them to make a promise of obedience to me and my successors. If they refuse to do that, I won't ordain them. That's a joke, you know, that's a joke. But I wouldn't. I really wouldn't. And the reason I wouldn't is because they are receiving a share in my priesthood, which is truly the priesthood of Jesus Christ, not my own, which requires a bond of love, affection, and esteem, not only of them towards me and my successors, but me and my successors towards them. My dear brothers, Your ordination is the birthplace of your priesthood. Our relationship is the birthplace of your priesthood. Not only at this moment, but in the years ahead. And so that relationship between you and me, between me and my brother priests, is a very important part of your lives and my life. You are my primary collaborators. Without you, I am like Moses in the desert. I'd rather have God kill me than not having you with me at my side in our common ministry to the church. And that's true about me, but it should also be true about you. You know, you shouldn't want to be priests alone, estranged from your brother priests. And you shouldn't want to be priests alone, a stranger to your bishop. This is an essential part of what it means to be a priest in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. So we will share one ministry, and I hope that we also share support, esteem, and love for one another. And just as Moses was chosen to lead God's holy people, you will be chosen through the Sacrament of Holy Orders today to lead his people today to the kingdom of God. You will be called to protect them as Moses and the elders protected his people. You will be called to feed them when they grumble and they're hungry. But we're called to do that together. May God bring to completion the good things he begins in you today.